You're listening to the Direction for Life podcast. We pray this episode blesses you. We'd love to connect with you. Visit us at rdci.info or on Facebook at Right Direction Church International. Also, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at TheRDCI. We hope you enjoy this broadcast.
1 Corinthians 29th chapter, 1 Chronicles. 29, no, I think it's 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles. Verse 12 says, both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand is to make great, or means the ability to make great and to give strength. That word strength, it means wealth to all. Now, therefore, O God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I? Who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. For we were aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope. O Lord, our Lord, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand and is all your own. I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now with joy, I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you. Amen. You may be seated. So today, again, as we officially start our celebration for 28 years of ministry, I heard someone who was a coach, a success coach, he said, just round it up, it sounds better. Almost 3 decades of ministry, and a couple of us are here who were here at the very first. I don't often do this. Paulette Grant, stand up, Paulette. Paulette, stand up, Grant. Some of y'all don't know. I often refer to Paulette. Paulette was our first member. Beyond the Baileys, Paulette and is your daughter here? Paulette and her daughter, they were our first members. As a matter of fact, she pushed me out the nest. So you don't know, Paulette got saved under me in New Jersey, teaching a Bible study on a Wednesday night at Full Gospel Church. And I remember she and her aunt and other family members came in, and I was teaching Bible study. I made an altar call Bible study, and I remember the whole family came up to be saved. That was probably around 84, 85. I left New Jersey in 86, so it was, that was like 84, 85. And when I moved down here, Mother Bailey said, I think Paulette down there somewhere. We called up Paulette, Paulette was so happy because she was at a church that had a daycare, okay? And we kept saying, they got a daycare? She said, yeah, you go to church, they got daycare. It was children's church. But we didn't have that back in Jersey City. She wasn't used to that. She was so excited, she went to this church that had daycare, y'all, while we was at church. And then some things transpired at the church that she was at, and she knew we were supposed to be starting the church, and she kept calling. She said, when you gonna start the church? I need a church. When you gonna start the church? I'm like, calm down. I'm trying to get myself together. And she started attending our Bible study and then was at our first service that we had officially on April 28th of 1996. And when we look back as where God's brought us from, we can't help but rejoice. And so as we celebrate and through our super seeds today, I'm asking many leaders who can to give today and then everyone else who can and will to participate next week. And I want to speak from the subject today, overflow giving. Overflow giving. The scripture that I didn't even read all of it, but let me just summarize it. 1 Chronicles 29, from 1 down through verse 17, is David receiving the offering to build the first temple. He wanted to build it. God said, no, you can't build it because you're a man of war. But you're, God said, I don't even need a temple. I asked for a temple. He said, but because you want to build me a temple to honor me, he said, I'm going to, your son Solomon will build it. And so David took up an offering and prepared. First, he gave himself personally. Then he prepared and asked all the leaders and all the nation to come and give that his son would have all the resources, the financial resources, the material resources that he needed to build the temple. 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 7, it says they gave 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, 100,000 talents of iron. They brought all the resources. And then verse 9 says, and the people rejoiced. They rejoiced that they had offered willingly. Another word for that word willingly is so generously. It wasn't compelled. They wanted to do it and rejoiced when they saw all the giving. And then David also greatly rejoiced. Now, last week, I ministered from Psalms 126. And Psalm 126, what I was shown last week is that there are times when God will have us to give from our need, a sacrificial gift. We showed you that the scripture said in Psalm 126, 5 and 6, they that sow in tears are going to what? Reap in joy. And he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. I really need this. This was my for something money. I wanted this for something else. I had other plans. This is all that I had. Like that first 5,000 we had that was supposed to be for a house down payment that the Lord tells us to give to get our first building. It's precious seed. But scripture said, when you go forth weeping, man, precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Yesterday, we had some time to spend with Tiana, formerly Polite, what's the last name? Brown, her and her husband. She grew up in this church, Minister Belinda Polite's daughter, and they just recently moved to Delaware. And she kept calling, she said, I want to see y'all. So before we left, we had the opportunity to sit out with them. And it was them who were sharing about a couple years ago, the Lord had them to give away a vehicle. I remember she lets me know everything. She still stays in touch with me. I'm so blessed when people are no longer here, but they still remember the seeds that we placed in their life and still honor us in some type of way because of that. She still always stays in touch. And I remember when she said, Bishop Bailey, we're getting ready to give away a car just like I saw you do. And she was rejoicing about it. She was rejoicing about it. Now, her husband was weeping about it. The Lord told him to do it. And he's weeping, saying, I just paid it off. And the Lord wouldn't let him sleep and told him this family that he knew and a man he knew who had children, his wife had died. Said, I need you to give him this vehicle. The person wanted to get a vehicle. He said, no, I can't get a vehicle. I don't have the money. And the Lord told him to give him his truck that he had just paid off. Nice truck. Just paid it off. Lord told him to give it. And he said, and he was weeping about it. And then so he went, he said, well, when I tell her, I'll know I miss God because I'll tell her the Lord want me to give the truck. And she said, well, praise God. Let's do it. He wasn't expecting that. He expected her to say, are you crazy? She got an agreement to do it. And then they realized that they, you know, go ahead and do this here, but we need another vehicle. He said, so as we're going to get a vehicle, she in the car crying. Now she, this in turn, she weeping now. What are we doing? Now we gotta get another vehicle and we done gave, he said, she in the car crying. And he kept saying, listen, stop crying, get on out this car so we can go pick out something. And they went to one of these big auto dealers. They got one up Greenville. Most of the, you know, real big ones where they got all of them together. You can just walk through from Mercedes to Jaguar and she said she went through, she said, and they pulled up and all the ones she wanted were passing by. She's so funny, if y'all know Tiana. And she said, we went from Mercedes to Hyundai
to Kia, to Suburban. Then she went there, and I don't even know. She said, what is a Santa Fe? What, I don't even know the Santa, I don't know what songs y'all. What is a Santa Fe? She said, I want a Mercedes. He said, we don't have Mercedes money right now. We just gonna get another vehicle right now. She said, but I went on, I cooperated. Watch this. She said, but I tell you what. She said, God worked it out. I said, what you driving now? She said, a Mercedes. And I reminded her of this scripture. Those that sow in tears will what? Reap in joy. That there's a harvest that's coming. And so sometimes you sow in tears, and though you may start off sowing in tears, the Lord has promised that you will doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing your sheaves with you. And sheaves represent an abundant harvest. So now, once you get the abundant harvest, you don't have to give from the precious anymore. You can give from the overflow. And there are people in this church who were challenged last week to give the precious, but there's other of us here who were challenged to just obey God in this overflow. Because in order to get from the overflow, first of all, you got to recognize, say this with me, say there's more where that came from. I've done teaching years ago that said and reminded us that you can never give the way God wants you to give until you overcome fear of lack. You can never give the way God wants. You can never live the way God wants you to live until you overcome fear of lack. God can brought you, have could have brought you to a place financially to afford a different type of house if you desire that, another type of car if you desire that, a higher quality of clothes if you have. Me and the pastor this week, we were laughing, just we talking about, and we both knew what we each other were talking about on the phone. And he said, man, he said, back in the day, he said, a new suit to me was going to Marshall's, getting a tie and a shirt and wearing that on Sunday morning. I said, man, me too. $25 changed my life. New shirt, new tie. And then I said, man, we should go out of town. There was this place where I could go and I can get me for about four suits for like $300. Some of y'all said, what? Yeah, that's how I start off. Give like four suits. And I said, I can't remember the name of that place. I kept saying, he said, K&G. I said, that's it. He said, I went there too. And we were talking about where we started. And now, God bless us. We desire to wear custom. That's what we can. But that's not where we started. And then God can bring you to a place that you're able to live better and have better. But you won't even do it for yourself if you don't overcome fear of lack. Because you're traumatized by lack. Oh, man, I don't always have this. And if you're not careful, you're in your abundance, now you become a hoarder. Look at all that I have. I'm going to tear down these barns and build me bigger barns. And rather than become a distribution center, which should be the goal of every believer who's blessed, to be a distribution center. God gets it to me so he can get it through me. I'm blessed to be a blessing. If I got it, somebody else going to have it. Brother in the church contacted me a couple weeks ago. He said, Bishop, he said, I know every year we give scholarships to college students. He said, just want to let you know, whatever you're going to do, I'm going to give another $2,500 to help with college scholarship this year. Amen. Come on, thank God for that. And I said, I'm going to match you. So whatever we regularly do, that's another $5,000 that me and this brother are going to make sure the college students have. Well, once you can't do that until you're blessed. But then once you're blessed, you got to be willing to give from your overflow. And not be in fear that I'm going to go back to where I was 10 years ago or 5 years ago. And so though you may start off sowing in tears, the Lord has promised you will doubtless come back with abundant harvest, rejoice, and bringing in the sheep. Abundance, overflow, and more than enough is God's will and plans for you. But it starts many times through the precious. Job 8:7. I quoted earlier. It's really one of, every time I go to say, I get ready to say, this is my favorite scripture. As soon as I get ready to say that favorite, another one comes to mind. So this is one of my favorite scriptures. Job 8:7 says, though thy beginning was small,
Let yet thy latter end should greatly increase. And one of the most powerful words in this scripture is the past tense was. Was. A lot of people misquote that scripture and say, though your beginning is small, though your beginning was small. Everybody say was small. Was means past tense. So watch this. Once you start, you are in increase mode now. They didn't receive that. Once you start, you're in the increase mode right now. Your beginning was small, but once you start with Jesus, you're in increase mode right now. Your beginning was small, but once you sow that first tithe, you're in increase mode right now. Your beginning was small, but once you make up your mind, I'm gonna give from the small, now you're in increase mode. Say this, I'm in increase mode right now. That means the Lord is blessing you right now. He's increasing you right now. There's something happening behind the curtain. There's something happening beneath the surface. God is increasing you right now. And we didn't always have scripture for it in the church I came from, but we used to sing songs that now I can really sing because I got word to go with it. We used to say, the Lord is blessing me right now, right now. You may not be able to see what the Lord has done for me, but the Lord is blessing me right now. Anybody got faith to believe that the Lord is blessing you right now? I don't care what things may look like. I don't care how tight things are. I don't care what's going on in the economy. I don't care what the interest rates are. I don't know who's worried about the election, but the Lord is blessing me right now. Look at somebody and say, I'm going to bless somebody. My beginning was small. My beginning was small. Come on, look behind you and say, bye-bye, small, bye-bye, small. God will bring you to a place, and I often have to remind, I go to buy my wife something or get ready to buy something, and she'll always tell me, I don't need that. I said, we passed need a long time ago. Come on now, you don't need steak. If you're hungry enough, you need Spam. Somebody said, the devil is a liar. Know what Spam is? It ain't even ham. Spam means supposed to be ham. Supposed to be. It's supposed to be ham. No, you don't need steak. I keep telling you, you don't need a pillow. You need sleep. Y'all prove that every time you come to church. Because there's always people sleeping in church and don't have no pillow. Certain things just make life more comfortable. And you got to get to a place that you say, come on, say it with me. Say, I passed need a long time ago. Psalm 115:14 reminds us that the Lord promised. And the reason why I have to take the time to teach this is because most preachers are scared to teach this. And so we got everybody going around talking about all the church wants and money, and people talk about the church. And that's why, because people are giving money without understanding there's a scriptural mandate we give money. I'm going to show you all that in the scripture. And so you got all people saying all the whole bunch of dumb stuff because they don't know the word. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Do you receive that? Yes. That's the will of God. God wants to increase you more and more, you and your children. Each generation should get better. I said each generation should get richer. Each generation should get more prosperous. We have a family chat. I wish I could pull it up. We got a family chat, and one of my kids who got a master's degree put something in the chat. I said, you got too much education to be talking like this. He said, this is family chat talk. It was like, I don't talk like this publicly. Those things just kind of irritate me, okay? Especially when you paid a whole lot of money that you know not to talk like that. I expect to hear my education money. You need to sound educated. Otherwise, make me think, waste all my money giving you the private school education, helping you and all that stuff. Okay? Each generation ought to get better. Mark 4, Mark 4, verse 32 and 33. I'm showing you that God wants to bring you to a place of overflow. Mark 4, 30 through 32, he said, what shall we like the kingdom of God? How do things operate in the kingdom of God? Now you need to understand, one of the characteristics of the kingdom of God is increase. Not just financial increase. It's increase. Where you start is not where you're supposed to stay. In any area of your life, a characteristic of kingdom living is increase. Things ought to be getting better. Financially, but your health ought to get better. You ought to look better. As long as you've been saved, you ought to look better than that. I got scripture for that too. The Bible says that he'll beautify the meek with salvation. Some of y'all must not be living right. I'm just messing with you. Lord, give me have a mass exodus. Why you leave that church? He called me ugly. And I didn't even call you ugly. But everything ought to get better the longer we go on and be with the Lord. We ought to think better. Amen? We ought to have more peace. We ought to have more joy. We ought to have more long-suffering. We ought to be kinder. And things should increase. So Mark 4, 30 through 33, he said, what should we like the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we picture it? Verse 31 says, it is like a mustard seed, which when it's sown, everybody say when it's sown. When it's sown on the ground, or in the ground, when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it's sown, it grows. Starts off the smallest of the smallest, but when it's sown, it can only grow what? When it's sown. It can only grow when? When it's sown. It's not gonna grow in your hand. When it's sown, it grows up and it becomes greater than all herbs and it shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. And the reason why this scripture blesses me is because many times when we start off, we're doing things just for ourselves. But when it really gets blessed, now, watch it, now the birds begin to nest in it. You don't have the birds in mind, but somebody else getting blessed because you blessed. Somebody else is prospering because you prosper. Are you following me? You start a business, okay, that the Lord told you to start, and now somebody ended up having a job who otherwise would not have had a job. You didn't start the business just so you can hire somebody, but that's a byproduct that because you're blessed enough to start this business, now it ends up being a blessing to somebody else. That's always the plan of God. Whenever God tells you to do something, it's never just for you. It's always because some kind of way he wants to bless you so you can be a blessing. That's what the kingdom is about. The kingdom of God is about blessing other people. So in our text, God has blessed David. He's increased the nation of Israel, and he brought them to a place of abundance. Say, God will bring me to a place of abundance. Come on, do y'all really believe that? Close your eyes and meditate as you say this time. Say, God will bring me to a place of abundance. Come on, look past your bills. Say it one more time. God will bring me to a place of abundance. Come on, let's change it. This is how we say this time. Say, God is bringing me to a place of abundance. Now say with all the faith you got, say, God has brought me to a place of abundance. Can I tell you something? You got to get abundance here and get abundance here before you get abundance here. Let me say it again. Look at me. You got to get abundance here and you got to get abundance here before you get abundance here. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. Out of the treasure of a man's heart, he brings forth abundance. Out of the abundance, come on. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speak. I get abundance in my heart. I speak it, and then I start seeing it. I say it until I see 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 it. God is bringing me to a place of abundance. I know y'all think these are just cliches, but I'm training you to train your life that all my needs are met, that I'm out of debt, that I got plenty more to put in store, that I'm a distribution center, that I'm so blessed I can hardly stand it.
So God brought David, brought the nation to a place of abundance. David's personal finances have increased. Remember, he was a little shepherd boy. His father sent him some lunch. All he sent to give his brother was some cheese sandwiches. Wasn't even no ham on the sandwiches, y'all. He came from a small shepherd boy in the backside of the house, so he wouldn't embarrass his family, because theologians tell us that he was a son born outside of the marriage union. Let me give you old language for it. He was a bastard child. He was an illegitimate child, which is why his brothers couldn't stand him, which is why his father even despised him, which is why when Samuel says, "I'm going to come down, the Lord told me to anoint one of your sons as the king, the next king," he knew he was coming. He calls all his sons together and didn't even bother to bring David and put him in a lineup. Maybe they'll forget that I even ever produced him. But the one that they forgot about, God didn't forget about. The one they despised, God did not despise. Oh, I heard some, let me see if y'all catch it. I heard somebody say this week. The black sheep of the family always becomes the goat. Let me see if they get it. The black sheep of the family always becomes the goat. Somebody said, "What's the goat?" The greatest of all time. Look, folks can reject you, they can despise you, but when God has his hands on you, he knows where to find you. God knows how to reverse the tables. God said that the last will be first and the first will be last. I'll take one down and I'll put another up. And when everybody has forgotten you and you think nobody knows you, God says, "Here they are." And that's what God did for David. Now he's the king. He's at a place of abundance. His nation is at a place of abundance. So now he goes receive this offering. 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 6. The GW, God's Word translation, says, "Then the leaders of the families, the leaders of the tribe of Israel, the commanders of regiments and battalions, and the office and the officials in charge of the king's work gave generously." Gave how? Generously. King James says willingly. It means they gave generously. They weren't holding back. They gave from the overflow that they had. Those verses from the God's Word translation gives us some more quantitative measurements that we can understand. From 1 Chronicles 29, 7 through 9, it says they gave 375,186 pounds of gold, 750,000 pounds of silver, 135 pounds of bronze, 7.5 million pounds of iron for the work of God's temple. And whoever happened to have precious stone, they gave them to Jehiel, who was a jeweler, Gershon's descendant, for the treasury of the Lord's temple. And the people were overjoyed that the leaders gave so generously and wholeheartedly to the Lord. And King David was also overjoyed, and he praised the Lord while the whole assembly watched. David was rejoicing how the people gave from their overflow. We know God brought them with promise to bring them to a place of overflow. Remember one of the scriptures we gave you last week from Psalm 126. The other translation says, "When the Lord restored our fortunes." So now God had restored their fortunes. They had been slaves. They had been exiled. They had been dependent upon other nations, but God had raised them up and God had restored their fortunes. So now their lack days are over. Now their broke days are over. Now their ship has come in. Glory to God. See, some of y'all, you're not tithing, but you told me you're waiting for your ship to come in. Mm-hmm. You keep going down to every time you see on the news the lottery to hit $1 million, $8 million, you won't tithe, but you go on there buying $20 worth of lottery ticket, thinking about your ship coming in. You ain't even about to get a boat. You're going to be sitting by the dock of the bay watching the tide roll away. Look at your neighbor and say, you better get in God's system.
Stay connected with us in person or online. Stream our services live on YouTube or rightdirection.info on Sundays at 9 a.m. and on Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. On Fridays, join Dr. Marsha Bailey for Manifest at 12 noon online only. If you're in the local area, join us in Columbia, South Carolina at 1705 Shivers Road. If you're in the Florence or Orangeburg area, join us for services there. For campus service times and locations, visit rightdirection.info.